Genesis 2:15-25. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, "You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still, there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. "At last," the man exclaimed, "this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man." This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame.
Well, good morning. Hey, I need to ask a favor already of you. We need a few more seats. I see some out there. They're usually in the center. So if you don't mind scooting over or at least standing up so we can get everybody in here, that would be great. Really appreciate that. While you're doing that, I just wanted to talk about celebration because it is baptism. But before we do that, I'm surprised Jada didn't mention this when she was up here doing the host moment. She went to North Manchester and the Squires won state last night, yesterday afternoon, I guess. It's been an incredible year for our student athletes in a lot of these communities and a part of us, so just congratulations to them. And also, congratulations to all of you who are getting baptized. Isn't it amazing? You know, that's a great milestone in your life, and I hope this celebration today that you will remember it forever. And I hope you can relax and just listen to the message. The message today is going to be abbreviated. It's going to be shorter. Did I hear an amen? I mean, I was hoping for tears and no, go more, preach more, teach more. Anyway, it's going to be abbreviated, so we're going to have to move really quick. So let's just dig in. You just heard Genesis chapter 2. But there's at least two points that you have to really take from Genesis chapter 1. So we're in this series called Origins, Origin Stories. This is the beginning of things. And so the first thing that we see is in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God is introducing himself to us. And the Hebrew word for God there is Elohim. So in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, Elohim, the Almighty One. It speaks of his majesty, his power, the fact that he's infinite, he's immutable, he has all the power, he knows everything, he sees everything. This is the God of the universe, the pre-existent one, the one who is eternal, and he spoke all of this into being. That's the God we're worshiping today. That's why we're gathered today. We're going to celebrate with those who God's worked in their hearts. And we see this amazing, powerful God, and we see him create. But in that creation, with his power, he just speaks things into being. He speaks things into being, and he says, "And let there be light," and there was light. A phrase that you'll see in the first part of Genesis, "And God said," and that's what happened. Remember that. He is the God of the universe when he says something, and that's what happened. Then we got later in the first chapter, and we see this all-powerful, almighty, supreme God create man in his image. Imago Dei, the Latin for in the image of God. And that tells us something about him, that he made us very specifically. He created us in his image so that we can have a relationship with him. He gave us a mind so we can think. We can plan, we can reason, we can understand. He allows us to use that creativity that he gave us. It's just a part of him. It's not all of the attribute, but it's like him in that he's a creator. And we make things, don't we? We imagine things, we dream of things. And he made us with emotions so that we can love him and connect with him. And not just him, but with each other. But this idea of Imago Dei in God's image tells you something about yourself. It's the value that you have to him. We see God move from this kind of abstract, this all powerful, to being intricately engaged with the creation in his image. And you have value. God sees you, he knows you, and he loves you. And maybe that's really hard to take because you're going through something. But that's the God that we're talking about this morning. So in chapter 2, we see another piece that hopefully you'll take with you as you leave today. After we celebrate, that this will be something that you're continuing to remember, that God is personal. As all powerful and mighty as he is personal to you. He knows you, he sees you, he loves you. And we're gonna see that play out. In fact, we just heard those verses. And we're going to spend most of our time, because of the constraints we have today, we're going to really look at verse 2:18 of chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 18, and it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" Well, if you've been here the last couple of weeks, something else you heard was everything that God made was good. In fact, he gets done with all creation after he creates everything, and then he creates Adam and Eve. He says, "Oh, it's very good." And then, doesn't it kind of blow your mind? Think about Adam. He's living in the perfect environment. It's paradise. He has a relationship with God. There's no barrier to his relationship with God. He's got purpose. He's got mission. And yet, God sees him. And he knows him, and he loves him, and so he gives him what he needs. And that comes in the form of Eve. And so a description of this, when we talk about Eve, and it says, let me read it, "I will make a helper who is just right for him." So what do you think of when you hear helper? Well, I used to think of my little helpers when the kids were little, and they would help me on a project. You've been there, right? Is that really help? You know what my experience was? By the time they actually were helpful, they left. So it's like, anyway. You know what I'm talking about? But that's kind of the image that we conjure up, or maybe we're thinking that. But that's not the meaning. That's not the intent. The Hebrew is Ezer. And then it's combined with this Ezer Kenegdo. Ezer Kenegdo. It's just the right help. But let's talk about this help. This term is actually most frequently used as a military term. It describes reinforcements. The picture is there's a battle going on, and at just the right time, from just the right place, the exact need that they have, the reinforcements come. And they don't come from behind, they come the other way. And they come in and they rally with the other troops. That's the idea of a helper. In fact, this word, Ezer, is used to describe God helping. So let me ask you something. Is God somehow lower his power? Think about who he is, and this same word is used to describe him. That's what God made for Adam. And he takes his rib and he creates Eve, the first woman. And it's just the right fit. Think of a puzzle piece. Anybody like to do puzzles? Why? That feels like work. Yeah, hey, Christmas break. Let's work on a puzzle. Maybe the kids will help. Grandkids will help us now. But think about two pieces. You see, here's Adam with this right relationship with God, and he's in the right environment. He's in paradise. But he has a need. And that need is for relationship. And God sees it, and he makes the right one. He makes a reinforcement for Adam. God sees Adam has a need, and he meets that need in the person of Eve. And now think about a puzzle piece that if you had two that were exactly the same, how are they going to fit together? They don't. So what we see is God creates Eve, and then we find out something happening. This reinforcement comes in. And in verse 25, what does it say? When Adam sees her. Anybody? Wow. Wow. At last. He's seen all of creation. He's named the animals. He's seen all the beauty of this incredible world, this place that God made for Adam. Amazing, amazing. But when he sees her, he's like, at last. Wow. I've had that feeling. I remember the first time I saw Karen. And I was hanging out by the cafeteria, and she was coming in. And I'm like, quietly to myself, wow! And I thought, at last, at last. Maybe this is the one for what? I won't say. I'm not giving any dating or relationship advice here. But I'm like, man, she is amazing. And she didn't quite see the charm. And part of that was, anytime I would talk to her, I just turned into JoJo the Idiot Circus Boy. And, well, you've seen some of that. Like, I say stuff. And I said stuff. And she says I proposed on the first date. I did not. She's a little bit older than me, and that was an issue, along with my character and my activities and general disposition. But other than that, it was great. But I'm like, hey, when we're old, it's not going to matter that you're older. Isn't that? That's solid logic. Is it true? Yes. I said, when you're 97, I'm 90. Who cares? Right? So I don't know why that wasn't as persuasive, but here's the good news. I asked her out, and she said no, and I asked her out again, and she said yes, and I asked her out again, and she said no, and I asked her out again, and she'd say yes, and no. That went kind of back and forth. But thankfully, I am persistent, if nothing else. And to be honest with you, with all her great qualities, she lacks a little bit of discernment. And so that was just a match that God had. And I'll tell you, I don't know if she was the right one when I met her, but I know after I got married and we got married, she was the right fit for me. And she's the opposite of me. Did you know this? This description, it's talking about when Adam saw Eve. Oh, wow, amazing at last. And God designed her. And so when Adam sees her, he can see some of himself in her. Like, he's like him. I mean, it's from his rib. It's not him, right? It's not him. In fact, it's the opposite in many, many ways. It's interesting that there's a military term used for this first wedding, because there's going to be stuff going on. When Karen and I got married, and think of these two puzzle pieces. They're opposite, and so they're supposed to fit together. But man, there's a lot of trimming that needed to happen. And so there's a lot of butting heads. And we think the absence of that would be great. No. This reinforcement that Adam was supposed to be to Eve, and Eve to Adam, and me to Karen, and Karen to me, is butting heads, because she's the opposite of me, and I'm the opposite of her. But this butting of heads, even arguments and the disagreements, that's part of God's design. That's what we need. We need these reinforcements coming from the other direction. And I can tell you, because of Karen, I was a better father. I was a better man. A better missionary. a better husband, a better son, a better brother. And she's working on better pastor right now at the moment. So, because of her. And I can hear her voice in my head sometimes. It used to be just when I was close enough where she was talking loud enough, I could hear what she was thinking, her wisdom and those things. And it's like, now I hear it when she's not there. And it's kept me from doing some really stupid things. God's used her in my life, and God's used me in hers. And that's what it's supposed to be. It's the right fit. And so we see that taking place, and that's the kind of care that God gave to them, the right fit, the right way. I want to read 2:18 again. It says, then the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. Suitable for him, right for him, not him. In fact, the opposite. So we see this take place. Now I want to talk about us. You feeling like you need a reinforcement? Need some help? I mean, God designed us to be in a relationship. It's not just in marriage that we need these kinds of relationship. We need other people. God saw that, and so he gave us that gift. The people in our lives that are the right fit for us, that will challenge us and will butt heads a little bit, because we're seeing things from opposite direction, but that's God's design. Talked a lot last week about community. But then I'm thinking, well, what are people going through? I mean, I don't know specifically what you're going through. The challenges that you face, the hurt, the pain. I guarantee you trauma for so many. And here's this God, the Almighty One, Elohim. He sees you. And he loves you. In fact, he loved you enough to die for you. You know, we talk about Adam, and because of Adam, we know that sin entered the world, and we see that, and we look at this first Adam, and what a weasel. He's got everything. Right relationship with his wife, right relationship with God in a perfect environment with purpose and meaning. And God's desire was for them to have children and populate the earth with God's children. That was his plan. But we know from the start of the passage that we read today that there was one prohibition, one thing, one tree that they couldn't eat from. Everything else was theirs. And this is a God concept thing. And they missed it. And the God concept is this: everything that God says, and that's what happened. He said, don't eat of this tree. All the others, you can freely eat. I've been asked, hey, did Eve know this? How did she know? Maybe Adam didn't tell her. Ever been accused of that? Yeah, you didn't tell me that. She knew, because we see when she's tempted that she's able to say. She even says, and the enemy is saying, did God say? Did God say that? So where's Adam in this? Her reinforcement, the one who's supposed to jump in and they're supposed to fight together. Where's he at? Do you know? The story tells us he's right there watching. He knows what God said. God said, if you eat of that tree, if you eat that fruit, you will surely die. And he's standing there. Wonder what's going to happen. If he had the right God concept, he would know that God, when he prohibits things, and he does, he tells us there are things that we should not do. And the reason he says it isn't because he wants to control your life. It's because he loves you. He knew if they ate from that tree that they would surely die. And not just them. Now it says, because of this Adam, this first Adam, who then went up after she ate, he eats too, and sin entered to the world. God didn't create it that way. Everything is broken. That's the first Adam. But Scripture tells us there's a second Adam. The last Adam. It's in Corinthians, Philippians. Romans talks about this. In the same way that sin entered the whole world by one person, Adam, God sends a second Adam. And this second Adam is Jesus Christ. And he is not like the first Adam. He is with us to the end. He pursues us, even when we sin, even when we walk away from him, even when we don't follow his instructions. He keeps pursuing us. He is pursuing you this morning. And maybe you thought you're here because you have a friend or a loved one who's being baptized. That's awesome. That's great. So glad that you made that important. But you're also here to hear this message that God is pursuing you. He loves you. And he knows you. He knows all about you. He knows what you're going through and the pain and the hurt. He knows it and he cares. And he has a solution that's just the right fit for you, and that's him. It's a relationship with him. So how do you have a relationship with him? Well, as we celebrate baptism, there's a great picture. We see Elohim send his son because he loved the world. And you could say the people in the world. You could say he loves me so much that he sent his son. And that anyone that believes in him will not perish, will not be under the curse of sin and death and judgment. They can have new life. They can have their sins forgiven. Christ came and lived a sinless life. And then he was nailed to a cross, even though the only thing he ever did was just love people. This second Adam went to the cross for you. He went there for me. And they crucified him there. And then they buried him. And then on the third day, he rose again. If you've never placed your faith in Christ, today might be the day that you do it. And what a celebration that'll be here and also in heaven. It's simply by accepting that free gift. The gift of forgiveness of our sins and the fact that we're given new life and new life that is eternal. I'm going to ask everybody who's going to get baptized to go ahead and stand up and have the worship team come back out. So I want you to know that when we do baptism, this is not holy water. We had a lot of people in there already in the first service. It's not holy water. There's nothing special or magical or significant about this pool or the water. What's special is the people that God has saved. Because each one of these people getting baptized has said, I believe that Christ died on the cross for my sins, and that was sufficient payment for my sin, full stop. They have made that declaration. They've made that declaration because that's what's happened in their heart. They received his free gift of grace and love of who Christ is. So, as we do this baptism, they're just going to do something physical so we can all see it and all remember it. But it's already happened inside. Baptism is just an outward act of an inward reality. And so as they come and they get in the pool, there's three questions that we ask. And those questions get right at the heart of what we're talking about today. Do you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe he rose from the dead on the third day? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Those are the three questions that are asked. And when they say yes, 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 because they've done that, then the picture is just like Christ, who was buried and then rose again to new life. And that's why we celebrate, and that's where we come in, that we get to celebrate, we get a hoot, we get a holler, we get a clap, to celebrate what God has done for each one of them. So let's go ahead and get started. Oh, God is so good to us, isn't he? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for who you are, not just in your power and your majesty and your glory, but in how much you love us. Lord, we're just so grateful. We think of each one that was baptized today and that you saved them and you rescued them out of the grave. What an amazing gift that you gave in the person of your Son. And Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and being that sacrifice for us so that we can have life and life eternal in you. Lord, we love you, and all God's people said, amen. Have a fantastic afternoon and a great week.